Record on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.
And I'm Ross Reynolds, and today we've got a very special show because instead of sitting in our University District studios, we're at, where are we again?
Yep, live in South Lake Union at the Center for Wooden Boats. Some people call this area Amazonia. Some call it Allentown. Some Cascade. On today's show, we're going to explore the neighborhood, learn about the issues South Lake Union faces, and we're going to try to get a deeper understanding of this community.
And we're here for the next hour. If you're nearby the Center for Wooden Boats, come on by. The pizza is still warm, and we've got some empty seats. Come by and say hello and watch us do the show. I don't know about you, Marcy, but I've paddled on Lake Union. I went on a wonderful houseboat tour. I've dined in some of the restaurants around here, but this neighborhood never fails to amaze me on how quickly it's changed.
Yeah, right now we're looking out at some kids learning how to sail, but to our backs is a whole new neighborhood with big high-rises, and I confess, Ross, I get lost often.
And that's why we're starting this show with a quest. We sent producer Hannah Byrne out to South Lake Union to investigate.
Excuse me? Hey, I'm from KUOW Public Radio. I was wondering if I can ask you a really quick question.
Okay. So we're doing a special show about South Lake Union.
Okay.
And we're kind of on a quest. We're trying to figure out what's the heart of this neighborhood. What do you think it is?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, God, I don't know. I mean, I think definitely it's all pretty much young professionals, everybody we know.
I don't know.
Oh, man. The cultural heart.
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, man. I don't know.
What do you think the heart is?
South Lake Union is pretty soulless. I don't think it has a heart. Yeah, I don't know.
There's no cultural heart in South Lake Union. It's devoid of cultural heart.
Devoid of heart.
Harsh.
Isn't that unsatisfying? People told us maybe the reason South Lake Union doesn't have a heart is because this neighborhood is still so new. It's true, South Lake Union seen tremendous growth over the past few decades, but even though the buildings are new, a lot of them, it still has a long history. So what happened to the cultural heart?
So to help answer this question, we went back into South Lake Union history's past, and we enlisted the help of a University of Washington professor, Margaret O'Mara. We stood on this very dock out here a few weeks ago, and she drew us a word picture.
So in the 1850s, we would have seen a pretty scrubby place, lightly settled. The south end of the lake was marshland. Not a logical place to, or a particularly scenic place to build something. But there was water, and water provides power, and water is also a good place to dump things. If you have lots of sawdust, for example, you dump it in the lake.
Take us back to the late 19th century when the first settlers began to move in here. What would have been here then?
What would have been here then were, it was an industrial space. It was a working space. If you had a nickname for the neighborhood in that era, it would be Rough and Ready. And the people who lived here would be that many of the people who worked in the factories and the facilities that were around the lake. They were working class people. Many of them were immigrants who came, lived in modest wood frame houses, rooming houses, single family homes, just up kind of up the hill where Amazon is today. And, this is a working neighborhood, but it's a different type of industrial neighborhood, right? It's a post-industrial one.
So if the people who live and work here now at Amazon and the other businesses, maybe in these restaurants, were to come back in time to the late 19th century, early 20th century, would they have much in common with the people who lived here then?
Gosh. Well, one thing in common is that we are, at a moment in history of great immigration and ethnic diversity, right? Seattle has many of the people who live and work in South Lake Union. Maybe they were born in another country. Maybe their parents were born in another country. And they would have that in common with some of the people who lived here 100-plus years ago. They would also may often be people who were not born in Seattle. People who've come here for work, for opportunity. Late 19th century, early 20th century Seattle was full of people who were migrants, who were going kind of to the edge of the known. Either they were crossing the Pacific, they were crossing the North American continent, crossing many oceans to come here and try and make their way in the world.
So the sawmill's gone, the lake level has risen. Is there anything left when you look around you could say, oh yeah, this is something that was here when it was first being settled by white people?
Yeah. Well, the dock on which we stand is, built on, this was the site of another dock. This is actually on a state-designated waterway. Once Washington, the territory of Washington became a state in the 1880s, there was a designation of these public waterways, that this was going to be not only a place where there was industry on the edge, but a place where boats, both civilian and military, could come. The interesting thing about Lake Union is that over successive decades, there have been so many dreams about this place. There's so many people have projected their ideas of this is going to be the ultimate, fill in the blank. Sometimes it reaches that potential, many times not. But it's a really fascinating place to see Seattle's hopes and dreams inscribed on one part of the city.
The very same lake where we're sitting today. And like historian Margaret O'Meara told us, South Lake Union is still an industrial neighborhood. Thing is, the industry is a lot different.
Tech, biotech, more tech, a sprinkle of retail, restaurants, and services. So what does it mean to be a South Lake Unionite today? Kurt Archambault would know. He's been here almost 8 years, and he says he plans to stay as long as he can. Kurt is from a demographic well represented in the new South Lake Union. He's an empty nester.
Now, like many full-time residents here, Kurt lives in a tall apartment building with a view of the entire neighborhood, Monday in the morning, in the evening, and in the afternoon. So let's imagine, Kurt, if you will take us to an average morning, it's beginning to awaken here in South Lake Union, and you're on your beautiful balcony overlooking the neighborhood. What do you see?
Well, it's interesting. We moved in 8 years ago, and what I would say I saw was not a whole lot. As we fast forward to today, I call it the migration of the blue badges. From all corners of the city, people are walking 3 to 6 abreast down the sidewalks around 8:30 in the morning, making their way to Amazon or wherever they work. Amazon is the largest employer, but not necessarily the only employer. But it's just amazing to see the number of people that have come here every morning.
Now, Kurt, you mentioned Amazon. The population of this neighborhood during the day is 6 times bigger than what happens when 5 or 6 or 7, when those folks go home. Most of those people work for Amazon. How does that affect the sense of this place? How is it different between day and night?
Well, during the day, you have to be a little bit more strategic in how you make your way around the neighborhood. I live in the building where the Whole Foods is, which becomes quite the center of the known universe around lunch. The grand staircase, as we like to call it in our building, becomes the lunchtime seating area. So coming down the steps can be quite the interesting experience. It's much like if you've ever been to New York City, though that's 24 hours, 7 days a week. You have to be a little bit more diligent about what you do to make your way through South Lake Union.
We're here in South Lake Union at the Center for Wooden Boats. Kurt Archambault lives here, and I'm Marcy Silman with Ross Reynolds.
Okay, let's go to later on in the day. It's 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. It's beginning to wind down. When you're up on your balcony that time of day, what do you see, Kurt?
Well, I have the pleasure of seeing a fabulous view of the Space Needle, which is probably my favorite aspect of where we live, but it does get a little quieter in the South Lake Union area after hours. We're not sure where everybody is going, but there's a particular organization that does car sharing. And if you go onto their app, you will see how the cars come in the morning and then they leave at night. And so we're not sure where they're headed, but they're not staying here. So it's interesting.
Now, Kurt, you're one of several thousand people who live here full time. Yep. What kind of nightlife do you enjoy?
Well, I will say that's one of the values. 8 years ago, there was not a whole lot. Luckily, we lived at 2200 Westlake, and there was restaurants there. But we do enjoy all the new restaurants that have come in. We also like to go to kind of what I would call the early adopter restaurants, folks that kind of took a chance on the neighborhood before everybody moved in, and we like to visit them. I would say probably the biggest challenge is if there's any entertainment that we need to go to, we have to go into the downtown area because we don't have any of that here.
Why do you suppose that is? Why haven't the restaurants also spawned more nightlife, more places where we could see music or go out?
I think that's the million-dollar question. I was thinking about it on the way here, the old adage of build it and they will come. I guess the question is, who is they? Are we waiting for the residents to come and then we'll put this in, or are we waiting for the nightlife and then more residents will show up? So I think that's the question that still has to be answered. I do appreciate the fact that in a lot of cases, shopping, grocery stores usually wait until after the residents move in. And I think one of the benefits to this neighborhood was that Whole Foods did invest in this market, which attracted more people here.
No, we're talking about nightlife. We're talking about residents. We fanned out and we asked a lot of people what the heart of South Lake Union is. And we heard from a lot of folks who said they have no idea. So you're a longtime resident. Mm-hmm. What's the heart of South Lake Union for you?
Well, you know, I guess I would be, I wouldn't say I'm a longtime resident. I think there's a lot of folks that have lived here a lot longer than I have. I still think from a cultural, been around for a while, you know, the Cascade neighborhood has more of that sense of a neighborhood feel because people have lived there longer. I think our neighborhood, there's just too many new folks that are still trying to figure out who is my neighbor.
So for you, what's the heart?
Well, I'll be a little honest with you. I would say the Whole Foods tends to be kind of the communal gathering place of most people in this area. And again, go down there any time of the day, and they do a great job with some of their events. It's packed down there. One of our favorite used to be a 50-cent oyster night, and people would line up around the block for the oysters. It was a great experience.
Is it 50 cents per oyster?
Or? Per oyster, yes. And I used to get a hubcap full of oysters. It was great.
Not happening anymore?
It just depends on the time of year, but they're doing a lot of other fantastic events that are bringing people.
Why do you think people have such a hard time telling us or anybody else where the heart is?
I just think it's the familiarity with the neighborhood. You know, I would like to say, for me, another great place is down here at the park. Again, when the park was renovated, it was pretty quiet, but more and more times I come down here and there's a lot more people and they're active. I mean, it was great to see, I think, Tommy Bahama's out there doing a big event right outside, which is pretty cool. And just all the different events and activating the parks is helpful. But people don't know. I think that's the problem. And I will say there's a lot of folks from outside of the neighborhood who are still holding on to this concept of the Mercer mess, which isn't quite as big a mess as it used to be, but it's still got a little ways to go. But don't be afraid to come down here. It's a nice place to go.
Kurt, what would surprise somebody who hasn't been to South Lake Union?
I would say the quantity of people down here would surprise folks. I think their vision of this area is pretty quiet, but we're getting a lot of press and a lot of folks are paying attention. But just the amount of folks that are down here, and it's all demographics. I think that a lot of people say, well, it's the young urban professional. Yes, but there are people that moved here to make it our residence. There's people been here longer than us, and there's new folks. And not to just put us all into one bucket of young urban professionals. It's quite the broad base of people.
Kurt Archambault is a full-time resident of South Lake Union, a member of the South Lake Union Chamber of Commerce. Thank you so much for joining us at the Center for Wooden Boats,
Thanks,
Kurt.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's where we are. This is KUOW. Now, Kurt's an empty nester in South Lake Union, but we did a little research to find out about the other residents here, and some of what we found surprised us.
Kurt talked about the influx of workers during the day, and he is not exaggerating. More than 30,000 people come to South Lake Union every day just to work. Only a sixth of those people call this neighborhood home.
And of that small residential population, only about 200 of them are kids. That's according to a March 2013 estimate by the Puget Sound Regional Council.
Coming up on The Record, we're going to talk about the key ingredients you need for a great neighborhood and whether South Lake Union actually has them. You're tuned to The Record live from the Center for Wooden Boats in South Lake Union with Ross Reynolds. I'm Marcy Silman.
This is The Record from KUOW, live from South Lake Union at the Center for Wooden Boats. I'm Ross Reynolds with Marcy Silman, and we're here today to explore South Lake Union, to get a deeper sense of this neighborhood and the issues it faces. South Lake Union has changed a lot since the 1850s, and today, South Lake Union has a lot going for it. It's right on the lake, it's close by downtown. But for many years, there was little development or population growth here. So we wanted to know why this neighborhood did not develop like the rest of Seattle. To find out, I met up with University of Washington historian Margaret O'Meara at the corner of Boren and Mercer Street, ground zero of the Mercer mess. She says that the South Lake Union was slow to grow because there was a highway project that never came to be.
The Mercer mess was actually going to be a big highway called the Valley Freeway that was going to go from I-5 towards Seattle Center to give easy access for people in their cars. You know, you get in your car in Bellevue, you go across the bridge, you get on I-5, and then you deposit yourself in Seattle Center without ever having to set your foot on city streets. This very much reflected the planning
ideas of the 1950s and 1960s, which was that traffic was a problem, but the way to fix that problem was to make cities more accommodating to the automobile rather than getting automobiles, fewer automobiles in the city. The problem, though, is when you say you're going to build a highway, and you don't, even if you don't build it, well, once it's on the books, no one's going to buy property around the highway. No one's going, why would you build a building on it that's going to be demolished in a few years to build a freeway, right? So what the consequence was is that it set South Lake Union, this part of South Lake Union, into this kind of real estate doldrums where things just weren't built for a long time. Nothing happened.
So what happens when the promise of a neighborhood is not fulfilled, when everybody's kind of geared up for this new thing to happen and it doesn't?
Well, then the neighborhood often gets forgotten and everyone moves on to the next big thing. And then a place like South Lake Union is left as this something of an empty spot. No one's projecting their dreams on it for a few decades. It becomes a place that becomes more affordable, as a place to live and a place to work, a place to have a business. And you can also have a great deal of square footage more cheaply than you can in other parts of Seattle, and it's centrally located. One of the things that happened in the middle part of the 20th century, the Valley Freeway didn't happen, but what did happen was I-5 and 99. And those really cut off South Lake Union from the rest of the city. So that's one of the reasons it becomes this pass-through space. It's just, you have these walls. I mean, erecting I-5 and disconnecting this neighborhood from Capitol Hill, because if you look at these at old pictures of Capitol Hill, the little wood frame houses start here where we're standing and just cascade up the hill. There was no border between the two. It was a steep hill, so that was something, but that changed it.
University of Washington historian Margaret O'Meara.
The South Lake Union that we know today is a relatively young neighborhood and has a lot of needs. Our producer, Andy Hurst, hit the streets to ask people what they want to see more of in South Lake Union.
More public transit coming into the area, more complete roads and not half-finished roads. I think we need more affordable housing here so that we've got a wider variety of people living here that want to eat here at night, drink here at night, hang out after work hours.
Bike lanes. Or, like, bikers will fall on the trolley tracks down here, and so some signage would be good.
The one thing it could really use is probably some nightlife.
That's a great question. You know, I, of course, being a bus person, would love to see more buses coming through.
I feel like we're still missing culture. It still is sort of just like workman's culture. People come here to work, and maybe they live here, but then they leave again. So I feel like the culture just dies after about 6 or 7 at night.
There's no soul, man. There's no soul. It's just a bunch of buildings that all look the same.
Oh, Ross, that's harsh. A bunch of buildings that all look the same. Well, we wanted to know, what are the ingredients that make a neighborhood thrive, and what are South Lake Union's biggest needs? I guess it depends who you ask, but we've asked Hillary Franz. She's executive director of FutureWise. It's a Seattle-based nonprofit that promotes smart growth and conservation. Hillary, thanks so much for coming down.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with one of the last things that we heard. There's no soul. Does South Lake Union have a soul in your view?
I think it has a soul, but I think it's an evolving soul and a growing soul, is because it's a brand new neighborhood. You know, one of the things that we've been doing is we've been looking across all of City of Seattle to be able to really look at what we see as key indicators in a healthy, thriving community, which would certainly have soul. And those key indicators that we've been looking at are things from access to public library, access to education, not only a school, but actually well-performing schools, transportation, meaning transit and bike and ped, access to healthy foods, affordable housing, which we keep hearing, as well as tree canopy, parks, recreation.
So you have just started crunching the data, and we asked you to expedite that a little bit to talk about South Lake Union. Yeah. What were the good things for South Lake Union?
Yeah, so as a young neighborhood, and it is a young neighborhood, South Lake Union is performing well in a number of areas. Some of the key highlight ones are parks. I mean, both South Lake Union and the city are well served by parks. And South Lake Union, with some of the key iconic parks of Seattle Center, the park we're sitting by, as well as Discovery, provide key opportunities for people to engage. Access to healthy foods. Resident was just identifying Whole Foods, not only the value for feeding one, but also community coming together. There's a very high level with QFC and Whole Foods here for that context. Transit, statistically, actually, South Lake Union, because it borders on Belltown and the downtown, has a lot of bus service. The challenge is there's a connectivity problem within the heart of South Lake Union out to the neighboring neighborhoods. Areas where it's struggling more.
Yes.
Tree canopy. I mean, we all saw the article in the newspaper yesterday, which really looked at this context of the equitable distribution of trees. Because of the history of this neighborhood, you know, being industrial area, a high transportation corridor, it is less than half of what Seattle's as a whole in the tree canopy and vegetation. Neighborhood schools. All right, I said schools, having a neighborhood school for social connectivity and access, as well as well-performing one. There isn't a neighborhood school. There's not only not a neighborhood school within South Lake Union, there's actually not one within the bordering neighborhoods. So another context is housing, right? The rental cost is about par, actually a little bit above what the norm of a rental in Seattle, but the likelihood, given all the cranes and all the development, it's only going to go up as more and more demand.
Now, Hillary, South Lake Union is in the middle of this apartment construction boom, and the Seattle City Council is considering an affordable housing plan that would encourage developers to build what they call family-friendly housing. And what we're talking about are bigger apartments, 2- and 3-bedroom apartments. Is that the right way to go in your view?
If you're going to want to create sort of that thriving neighborhood of all different ages, right, and that not doesn't just make it a place people commute to, but actually stay and live and work and play, you will need to have family housing.
And so is a 3-bedroom apartment it? Is that what families are looking for?
I think families are looking for that. I think we're seeing more and more people wanting to live in their urban environments. This city provides a lot of opportunity for the single-family residence that is a house frame. What we don't offer very much is for the people who want to live closer to their downtown, closer to their job centers, to be able to live there. I think the context that the city of Seattle is looking at of having a comprehensive affordable housing strategy is key. And in that context, I think we have to be looking at the sizes of the housing. So we're providing diversity from the people who want to live in a single studio to a multi-bedroom, as well as the cost.
Now, I know the city of Seattle is in the middle of putting together its comprehensive plan. So is South Lake Union a test case, or sort of the lab rat, the guinea pig of this?
So I think the context you're talking about is the comprehensive plan is coming up, where we're going to see about 125,000 more people coming to the city of Seattle. And if any of these cranes are assigned, it could even go over that. We were the fastest growing city in the nation last year. As a result of that context, we have to figure out where that growth goes. And the ideal is that we are not moving more and more people out in the suburbs, where we're creating more time and costs for actually transporting people, as well as cost to government and its sprawling out into our farmlands and forest lands, but instead giving people the opportunity to have more connection to where they live and work. If we don't have, you know, if we're not leveraging this opportunity, which is right now the fastest growing residential and commercial center in downtown, as an opportunity to figure out how this city can be able to accommodate within its downtown neighborhoods, residential and commercial, we probably will not be successful. And what are most families looking for when they all of a sudden, these young Amazons with the blue card start to have children, right? What do? They're first going to look at two things. They're going to look at the size of the home and the cost of the home. And then the second thing they're going to look at is schools. And they're going to look at the performance of the school and the accessibility of that school. We talked about the affordable housing and the need to have that here, as well as the size. I think we need to look at the opportunity that this neighborhood has for creating a test case of how do we create an urban city school that leverages the innovation that's happening within our university sector, with Northeastern University, University of Washington, our tech industry, but then also the arts and culture we see.
Right, and I was just going to ask you about that. I'm talking with Hillary Franz, Executive Director of FutureWise. We heard several people talk about the lack of nightlife. Kurt mentioned that as well. Arts and culture, what do they add to that indefinable soul or heart of a neighborhood?
I think they add entertainment, energizing, creativity, the kinds of places that attract people of all different, you know, backgrounds and ages. I think it's interesting, this context of arts and culture, when we look, Seattle Center is the key place within our city for arts and culture. It is a direct neighbor to South Lake Union. And I think as this neighborhood's evolving, I think it would be valuable for the neighborhood to be looking to that as an opportunity to start to expand that arts and culture within its neighborhood, within a context of making sure it has availability of housing that artists can afford, but also availability of commercial business space that artists can use, and that it can have that kind of leveraging of all the art activity, the Cornish, the arts institutes that are in this neighborhood generally.
Kurt Archambault mentioned that it's a little bit of a chicken and an egg kind of thing. Do you wait for the people for these things to happen, or does building them and they will come? Is that what we need?
I think in the comprehensive planning level, right, that the city, that they have to be recognized and they have to provide the opportunities for that kind of business commercial space to go in, as well as the diversity of housing type and cost. And in that context of developing that plan, it allows for the market to start to do it as well, right, and lays that groundwork. I think it's likely that you're going to first see the residences, if we get the affordable housing context right and we get the size of it right, to be able to have that diversity, that businesses will come. Maybe they may not be as risky as the Whole Foods out there, but I think it will come with it.
And lastly, you have singled out South Lake Union as a neighborhood that is really presenting a major opportunity for the city of Seattle. Why?
I think South Lake Union right now, historically, most of Seattle has been a single-family residential community. And if we look to our neighbors to the north, Vancouver, BC, and our neighbors to the south, Portland, Oregon, I think we see where the Northwest is starting to grow up in the context of putting our residential centers right downtown in the heart of where our jobs are, right? And this is an opportunity because it is taking a majority of the growth right now to get it right, because it has some of the architecture already there that families and people want to be by. The reason you came as an empty nester back to this, you know, to this area is you wanted the arts, the culture, the parks. You wanted the livelihood of the energy of the economic piece. You look at the Pearl District in Portland, housing came first. That place is alive every night of the week, right? With kids of all ages, seniors, they're having picnics in the park. I think that opportunity is here if we can get the context of the housing right, as well as the other neighborhood features.
Hillary Franz is executive director of FutureWise, a Seattle-based nonprofit that promotes smart growth and conservation. Thank you so much for joining us
at
the Center for Wood and Boats. Coming up, the future of South Lake Union.
It's The Record on KUOW, live from South Lake Union at the Center for Wood and Boats. I'm Ross Reynolds with Marcy Silman. Come on down. We're going to be here for a while. We've not only got a radio show, we got snacks. Is there any pizza left out there, or is the pizza gone? Well, there's something to eat. Come on by and say hello. We're here today to explore South Lake Union and to get a deeper sense of this neighborhood and the issues it faces. And as we heard earlier, the promise of a highway in South Lake Union stagnated growth here for years. Once it became clear that the highway wasn't coming, South Lake Union suddenly caught the eye of a few Seattle VIPs, a politician, a developer, and a businessman. And suddenly, South Lake Union exploded. UW historian Margaret O'Meara and I set out from Amazon headquarters to find out the story behind this growth.
I would say it comes down to a story of three men. One of those men was the former mayor of Seattle, Greg Nichols, who doubled down on making infrastructure investments in this part of town, including the streetcar, but also a whole bunch of infrastructure that's under the street that we don't even see, and turning this into a neighborhood that had the capacity to be a real business center. The second person, of course, is Paul Allen, who embarked on a business venture that was also part civic entrepreneurship and a real investment in Seattle. He developed the buildings that surround us today that now house these biotech firms, that house Amazon, and house other really key parts of the Seattle's new economy. And then the third person is Jeff Bezos, the CEO, the founder of Amazon, who, with his company, bringing Amazon to this neighborhood, and not only bringing it here, but expanding it, and it coming here at a moment when it was exploding in size and really expanding its reach and going into so many different lines of business. Those three things made South Lake Union what it is today.
How is what we've seen happening in South Lake Union like or unlike what we've seen in the rest of Seattle?
Well, it's like the rest of Seattle, what we're seeing happening in the rest of Seattle, in that the changing industrial structure of our economy has made this a very different city than it was even 25 years ago. You dial back just to the 1970s, this is a blue-collar town. This was a place that, yes, you had a lot of white-collar professionals, but it was did not sort of define either the political or the industrial character. And Seattle is quite different. It's also a place where, you know, Lake Union is a great example. You know, we started off looking at this waterfront that is now full of yachts and sailboats and pleasure craft and float planes that don't take you to work, but they take you to vacation. They take you to the San Juans. It's a place of recreation. Instead of the bounty of nature that is here for a very long time was seen as this is a industrial bounty, and this is something that you take from and you extract. And in the last couple of generations, it's moved towards this is something that needs to be both preserved and recreation.
There are still cranes. We can see them in the distance. There is still building going on here. Has this neighborhood kind of reached maturity for this plateau of its development?
I don't know. You know, one thing that we don't quite know yet is what the next generation of buildings will be. But the other thing, the next big wave, will be looking closer to downtown along the site of the old Denny Regrade. And that's where Amazon is building a lot of its new buildings. And they're going to be taller and they're going to be bigger. And it's going to be millions and millions of square feet. So it'll be interesting to see 5 years from now, 10 years from now, the degree to which the center of gravity moves closer to downtown, back down Westlake towards the center of the city.
University of Washington historian Margaret O'Meara, and she posed an interesting question there. What will South Union, Lake Union, look like 5 to 10 years from now? How about 20 years or 30 years? Will the center of downtown move here? What are those taller buildings going to mean for the neighborhood, and who's going to live here? Candy Wilvang has lived here for 17 years in the part of South Lake Union known as Cascade. She lives with her partner and two sons in a townhouse. Chris DeVore is a general partner at Founders Co-op. It's a company that provides seed money for tech startups, including several here in South Lake Union. They've been based here for 4 years, and they recently moved from the University District to the University District. And Mike Mackley is here. He runs South Lake Union's Serious Pie branch. His uncle, Seattle restaurateur Tom Douglas, owns it. Mike travels to work every day via the Mercer Mess. Thanks so much for coming by, you guys. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Well,
to be here.
I got to start with you, Candy, as the person who I think we've spoken to who's been here the longest. When you take into consideration what's happened up till now over the past 17 years you've been here and look to the future, where would you like to see it go from where it is today?
Well, it's very hard to hear about the soulless comments because when you've lived here for 17 years, you've invested quite a bit of time and energy and volunteering and working and living in the neighborhood and raising kids in the neighborhood. And but I do understand the comments that are made about soulless because we've heard, it kind of feels like it's being sucked out of us right now, and so there's this struggle.
I want to follow up on that.
Yeah.
What do you mean sucked out of you?
Well, there definitely is a heart of South Lake Union, and there's activists that have struggled really hard to make sure that prominent Cascade residential resourcefulness that we've nurtured all these years doesn't get, you know, thrown out with a lot of other things that have gotten thrown out in a time where you're thinking that the money that's coming in is going to help everybody, but we're losing our community center. We're, you know, there's things that are happening that don't seem to fit the model.
How do you keep it? When you look forward and you think about, well, if this happens, we'll keep that part of this neighborhood that I've loved from living here for so long. What is it that you want to keep, or what is it new that can bring that back?
So I think it's definitely, since I've been able to live here 17 years because I found affordable housing, and actually we call it low-income housing because there's a difference between affordable housing and low-income housing. And the difference are in percentages of, you know, medium incomes and what people make. And there's a lot more people making the 30 to 50% level of medium income than there are the 80 to 100% in market rate income people. And so to struggle to keep our identity that we've had all along, which I I call a resourcefulness and activism is to keep on the airwaves about how important low-income housing is.
So some mechanism that the city puts in place to make sure that that housing is still available.
Exactly. And we've seen that the developers are a little reluctant to be told what to do with their property and what levels to offer those workforce housing and low-income housing and that type of thing. So we struggle to find a medium.
Chris DeVore, I want to turn to you, a general partner at Founders Co-op. Part of what you've done here is create some of the businesses that are here, some of the tech startups. And when you see where we are now, today, in 2014 at South Lake Union, and look into the future, what trends would you like to see continue? What new things do you think need to happen? Is there some things that we should see less of here?
Yeah, no, great question. I think a little bit of perspective is I grew up in Seattle, so sort of seen the city grow up. I grew up on Capitol Hill. But I did spend a good chunk of my early career in the Bay Area and then came back about a dozen years ago. So I think there's some things that are really exciting about where we are in Seattle right now with, you know, having one of the world's most important internet companies based right downtown. Amazon is incredibly exciting for the vitality of the city. And to see Seattle go from being really a regional city to become potentially a global city, I think it's something to hold on to and will create benefits for everyone in the city. I think the things, again, looking at San Francisco, some of the challenges they're having right now, particularly around affordability of housing, there's always a tension between a preservationist mindset and a growth mindset. I think San Francisco has not embraced the idea of adding new housing units or adding new affordable housing.
I just heard recently, like, the average house in San Francisco, $1 million.
Yeah. And rents are really incredible down there. So, they've got all the vitality of the technology community, but they haven't thought about how do they move the city forward, the whole city forward, from a housing standpoint, from a neighborhood standpoint, so that the city works for everyone.
You know, Candy just had some ideas in that regard. What do you think?
You know, I think the city of Seattle, to my eye, and I've done some volunteering with them or more around innovation stuff than anything else, has done a nice job of balancing the needs of growth. So partnering with developers, thinking about light rail and transit and creating more, denser urban neighborhoods around the transit core, but also trying to preserve the fabric of the neighborhoods in a way that makes room for all kinds of businesses, not just the new shiny ones, but smaller businesses, low-income housing.
How do you do that? I mean, Candy talked a little bit about making sure that there is room for low-income housing. What about these other aspects of keeping it an area of the city for everyone?
Right. You know, one of the unique things about South Lake Union, which if old Seattleites will all remember, the reason that Paul Allen owned as much real estate as he did was because he tried to give the city a park, the Commons. It's unusual for one landowner to own as many kind of contiguous blocks as Paul Allen did in South Lake Union, and that probably reflects why it was built up so quickly and so uniformly. One of the things I think there's an opportunity in some other neighborhoods, the U District is one, for example, there's much more patchwork ownership. So that, yes, you'll have new developments on certain blocks, but you have lots of landowners who aren't motivated to sell or want to hold on to their... So you get sort of the Jane Jacobs mindset of a city as a fabric, an interweaving of older buildings that are good for artists and startups, shiny new buildings that are good for big companies, new housing that's good for, high-income people and families, low-income, older buildings that are good for low-income folks and students. I think the city is being careful about, and really it's DPD, the Department of Planning and Development, that's being very thoughtful about zoning to construct incentives and guidelines that allow the city to grow, but to grow in a way that preserves the authenticity that I think we all care about.
I want to turn to Mike Mackley. He runs South Lake Union's Serious Pie. His uncle, Seattle restaurateur Tom Douglas, owns it. First of all, what's it like to work for your uncle?
I don't have to see him too often, which is
that a good thing?
Nice, I suppose.
I'm sure he doesn't listen to the record. Go ahead.
In that case, I got a couple of things. No. It's a blast. It's a blast to work in the restaurant industry in general, but also it's kind of fun. I mean, it's fun to have that connection where I see the company grow and I see how much he does for us and for everybody that works for him. We're almost 1,000 strong now.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And he takes care of everybody, it kind of makes it fun. I'm as passionate, if not more passionate than everybody else, just because of it.
And Tom Douglas has doubled down on this neighborhood with restaurants.
Absolutely.
Joining the restaurants that are already here along the south edge of South Lake Union. When you look at the future in the next 10 or so years, what do you think you want should continue to be encouraged? What should maybe be slowed down? What do you think should happen?
I kind of want to see some more restaurants. I mean, we've got some phenomenal restaurants down here. not just, Brave Force Tavern or Sears Pie. I'm not just in Cuoco. I'm not just going to go for the TD restaurants, but a special shout out. Republic. I mean, you can get a great cocktail there. There's Shannock, where you can have world-class Indian food there. Some of the best I've ever had. There's so many great restaurants. We have a Chipotle now, too. Huh?
Are you getting paid for all that?
Yeah, exactly. Now, you know, I want to see more restaurants. What if this kind of becomes more like the ID, where every single corner has 6 or 7 restaurants, and we're kind of a hubbub of, well, hey, where should we eat? I don't know. Let's go wander around South Lake Union for a little bit.
What do you think about that question of why there's not more nightlife, which seems like it would follow restaurants? People would want some place to go. What's going on there?
I don't know. I would love to see maybe another big hotel come in. I think that would help us out. We could definitely use a music venue down here. That would be kind of fun. I would love to see, I guess, some more bars open up, like I said. I don't know. I mean, we can always get there. There can always be a movie theater put in down here or something along those lines. There's all these buildings here. I'd like to see some more retail, too, going on. That would be nice. Some shops open a little bit later.
Candy, I want to hop back to you. What would you like to see more of or less of?
Well, we lost all our music venues. It was the hottest, awesomest place in Seattle. We had the Rock Candy. We had the Lake Union Pub. We had hip-hop punk shows. There were theaters because it was industrial. They could use all those industrial spaces for their theater. And so we see it as it was here and then yanked out.
Mm. You'd like to see
it. For the new vision.
You'd like to see it return.
It's hard to, you know, after something's left, you're never going to get that back again. I can't imagine that with all this growth that that type of thing happened here again. I think that perhaps it was moved out to make way for the new whatever scene it's going to happen here.
I want to pursue this back with you, Chris. The things that the neighborhood needs and the idea that we need to make sure that there's affordable housing here, Mike's idea that we need more restaurants here, what do you think there needs to be more of here?
You know, I had to, you know, disclose that we moved to University District because of some of the things that we felt weren't here and we weren't sure we were going to get back.
What things?
And the example, and again, it's sort of back to the Jane Jacobs model, and those of you who know, she was a kind of city planner and historian. She talked a lot about the value of older buildings. And that for whether it's on a housing front, older, fully depreciated apartments, or on the office front, smaller office spaces that are class B or C and less expensive, to have a mix of company types in a neighborhood, you need to have a mix of real estate offerings. Yes, you need class A office with big floor plates for big companies, but you need the kind of office space that startups can afford and that's small enough for them to work. One of the things that I think we've lost in the last, you know, in the 4 years that we were operating in South Lake Union is Amazon was here, but there were a lot of older buildings, and those have steadily been torn down for new stuff, which is great. Again, I think I'm pro-density. We need more housing units in the neighborhood. I think it's going to be good for the city in the long run. But because of, the sort of lots of contiguous blocks that were all developed more or less in the same blush, we lost some of the older housing stock and also older office stock that was desirable for startups and affordable for startups.
Interesting. So not that kind of place for new places to begin because it's not designed for them.
Well, and frankly, not only not designed, it's just too expensive. If you buy a new piece of real estate and you take a big loan to build a new building, you have to charge market rate, you know, barring some carve-outs, obviously, for low-income uses. But the logic of capitalism is you can't sell your product below what it costs you to recover your costs. New buildings require high rents.
I want to return to this theme we've been trying to pursue, and I know it's a hard question, but is there a heart to South Lake Union? And if not, should there be, and what would you like it to be? A place that kind of is the centerpiece of the neighborhood, the place that people always think about when it comes to this neighborhood. What do you think, Chris?
I mean, you know, it's funny. I think old residents would say that the park, the neighborhood park over by REI, was the heart. And actually, my kids went to a daycare there, and they hung out in the pea patch. I have really fond memories of that. I think if I were to again say, you know, we can't just preserve what we had; we have to create new things. I think the city has done an amazing job of creating a new heart here at South Lake Union, which is where we're sitting to do this show.
The Center for Wooden Boats.
You know, between Mohai, Center for Wooden Boats, the park, the fountain, the bridge.
We're in the heart.
You know, I honestly, and as I see both Capitol Hill growing up and with the new development in Lower Queen Anne around the Gates Foundation and KXP and the revitalization of Seattle Center, it feels like this park is almost the connective tissue that will bring together these really exciting, growing urban neighborhoods.
Mike, what about you? And you can't say Serious Pie.
All right, well, then if I have to pick a second place, you know, I think I'm with Chris. I love the waterfront down here. We get a ton of people that come in that are looking for the Mohai Museum, that are coming down to the Center for Wooden Boats. And I mean, it's got a spectacular view. There's all sorts of fun boats. There's all sorts of fun houseboats right across the way. I think if anything should be the heart, it should either be down here by the waterfront or also, you know, I love Candy's neighborhood. I love that pea patch that's over there. I play basketball at that little basketball court only because I'm too embarrassed to play basketball in Denny and
Wesley. That's too hardcore.
There's a lot of people making fun of my jump shot over there.
Yeah, he's playing my 15-year-old son at our park.
And no mercy, too. I don't let up.
Okay. Candy, how about you? That question about, it sounds as from what you were saying earlier, that maybe the heart's been lost a little bit. Can it come back? And if so, where would it be?
Because that most of the housing centered in Cascade, I would feel that the heart is always going to be in Cascade. Even if the density grows all around us, I feel that the heart will always keep beating in Cascade. It's just got too long of a history. Our state senator, Frank Chop, lived in a geometric dome in the church parking lot in Cascade. And I just had dinner with him because we're on our neighborhood council. And he was just telling us stories of their activism in their days running a food co-op. And it sounds like all the cool things that we're doing today in our neighborhood. And I don't want to see that lost.
Candy Wilvang, resident of South Lake Union, Chris DeVore, investor in the neighborhood, and Mike Mackley runs South Lake Union's Sirius Pi branch. Thanks to all of you for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And it's time to play South Lake Union's most popular radio game show. It's the Record News Quiz.
Not anyone can play the Record News Quiz. You have to qualify, and to qualify today, you had to be here at the Center for Wooden Boats. Our qualifying question today was a pretty difficult one. We asked what the total area of South Lake Union is in acres. The correct answer, of course, as you probably all know, 359 acres. And Hannah Byrne, who won our contest to qualify?
Well, this lovely man sitting next to me, David Graviota.
David Graviota, congratulations. You've gotten to the first tier. Now,
remember the rules, David. If you can answer two of these three questions correctly, you will win the Record News Quiz, and you will get your photo adorning the KUOW Facebook page. Now, you've been listening closely today to the show,
yes.
Right?
Yes, I have.
So you're ready to go?
I hope so.
And audience, you're ready with your our dinger, because we left the dinger in the studio.
Yes, our dingers and our honkers are right here in front of us to tell you, David, whether you've won or lost on this particular question. Are you ready for the first one?
I'm ready.
Okay, here you go. If you're in South Lake Union and someone uses the term badger with you, what are they referring to? Are they referring to an Amazon employee, or are they referring to an animal that builds dams and has huge teeth, or are they referring to a South Lake Union bicycle cop?
They're going to be referring... Oh.
Go ahead.
They're going to be referring to the Amazon employees because of the blue badge.
Ooh, good job. Good
Nailed
job.
I
love our dingers here. All right, number two. You're one for one there. Historian Margaret O'Mara told us about a massive design plan for South Lake Union that would have created a giant park here. Citizens twice voted down the Paul Allen-backed plan. What was the name of that plan? Was it A, Metropolitan Park District? Was it B, South Lake Union, the heart of Seattle? Or C, Seattle Commons?
I'm going to go with C, even though it's a kind of a guess. But.
Audience?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Seattle Commons. Okay, here's your final question. Are you ready?
Yes.
We've been doing a lot of talk about the heart of South Lake Union this hour. And our question for you is this. Which one of these statements is true? Only one of them is. Which one is true? The geographic center of Seattle is in South Lake Union, right out that window. Number two, there's a placard on the door of Amazon headquarters that reads, "The Heart of South Lake Union." Number three, the city boundaries of South Lake Union are literally shaped like a beating heart. Which one of these statements is true?
I'm going to go with B.
B?
Yeah.
Audience?
Oh.
But David's been doing pretty well. Hannah Byrne, our producer extraordinaire, has been slaving over the record supercomputer, tabulating the results.
Beep, 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 beep.
David had to get at least 2 out of 3 questions right to be a winner. So, Hannah, an audience, is David a winner?
Yes.
Good man.
Thank you.
Your picture's going to be up on our Facebook page. You're going to be famous for the weekend. No doubt about that.
That's what I wanted.
Excellent. Well, we are so happy that you have all been here. And boy, we could stay forever, Ross. I'd like to take a boat and just head out into the lake.
We could. Let's right after this. But first of all, we have to thank the folks that made this happen. We're produced by Jeannie Yandel, Arwin Nix, Amina Alsadi, and Hannah Byrne.
Kava Anderson, Matthew Straub, and Andy Hurst.
Jim Gates is our editor. Our absolutely wonderful production assistant is Brianna Ripley. Our engineer, Jack Walters. David Hyde's our executive producer.
And live shows do not happen without a lot of teamwork. So we shout out to Caroline Dodge, Bond Huberman, Timmy Dolan,
Doug Patterson, Tim Meinig, and John Sullivan,
Dane Johnson, Rob Springer, Eamon Nordquist, and Kara McDermott, and especially the Center for Wooden Boats for hosting us, Whole Foods for feeding us, and Wicked Pies for slipping in a pizza.
Yeah, and our very special musical guest. We never have a special musical guest. Bradford King, thank you, man. Check him out. And check out his band, Urban Jellyfish. Last but not least, we'd like to thank you all for coming by. It was really fun to see you. Thanks for stopping by and being part of this live show. I'm Ross Reynolds. It's The Record for Friday, August 15th, 2014.